Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Directed IRA Podcast. My name is Mark Kohler, and I'm here with my best friend, business partner, Matt Sorensen. It's an honor to be here with you.
Oh, it's an honor to be here with you. Man, I love that intro, best friend.
Thank you. That's, you know, no, you don't have to say I'm your best friend. I didn't mean to put that pressure on you.
That's you like, are. You are. But,
thank you. It's like in a relationship, I love you. And they're
and
like,
if you don't
I'm
send
not ready.
It back, yeah. You're like, oh, that didn't work.
Wait, I threw that one out there. That
yeah.
Lob,
yeah.
That did, lobbed it out there. Okay. But anyway, thanks, bud. Yeah, okay. So we're here today talking about some important news that just came out in the last month on the Social Security benefits, the status of Social Security. We've got some important information to share with you, interesting information, and some strategies and suggestions on how to deal with this, I would say, bad news.
Yeah, that's a kind of a buzzkill.
Yeah, I know.
And you might have, you've probably heard this before, but Social Security is going bankrupt. I mean, that's the news alert right now. The latest report just from a week ago came out from the Social Security Administration trustees themselves, the people running this thing that are like raising their saying, we're going to be broke in 2035. Guys, that's 11 years from now. So those of you in your 50s, you're going to be broke. The Social Security Fund is telling you it's going to be broke by the time you get here.
Yeah. Now, it would be a devastating. This would almost be a white swan, black swan, whatever, event if Social Security crashed. I mean, this is we know the government is going to save this as if they would save the big banks in the real estate mortgage crisis 15 years ago. But we have to take control of the situation. We've got some ideas, more information on Social Security, some things you may not even realize how Social Security works. But the big headline, 2035, if they don't make adjustments. Tell us, they said, if we make some adjustments, we'll be okay. What do they mean by adjustments, Matt?
It's not good for you. Let's just cut to the chase. This is what they said. We'll make some adjustments like more taxes, less benefits, and, we'll and okay. raising the retirement age.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You're not getting money in retirement. You're paying the taxes. Let's be honest. Oof. You're the one getting less benefits out of it, and you're the one not getting your money in retirement until later. And so that's the plan that the government has for Social Security for you. Sounds pretty great, right?
Yeah. You may have been hanging out with grandma or grandpa all being fun going, hey, grandpa, 75 is the new 70. well, there may be a little truth to that. Yeah. The guy in the eyes of the Social Security. So, okay, let's break down a few more facts. And it is very sobering. And let's run through what you might expect under the current structure before any adjustments. And we've already talked about this 11-year time bomb, and we know the government's going to try to fix it, and it's going to be expensive, so let's just own that. What we do to mitigate this risk, we got all sorts of good ideas, and can I lead with this?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say this. The government already is trying to get you to wait longer before you take Social Security. So you can start taking Social Security at age 62. Some of you maybe have that date marked on your calendar. I hope not, but because here, 62 is when you can start taking it. 67 is what they call full retirement in age. And if you can wait till 70, they throw in the kitchen sink. So they're trying to penalize you if you take it before 67 with a reduction of 30% in benefits and reduction in benefits if you're still working. They're saying don't take Social Security. Wait till you're 67. And if you wait till 3 more years, we'll increase what you get by 24% for the rest of your life. You do the math on that? That's a big deal. So I'm just going to propose you in your mindset, you should be waiting until 70 anyway.
Yeah. And I think, let me just throw some numbers on this so you know, so you can kind of see how the numbers work. And now this is the max benefit. I'm going to throw out the numbers of the max benefit, meaning you paid in max Social Security W-2 salary for a maximum of 10 years because they take your 10 highest years to determine what your benefit's going to be. So if you hit 67, which is full retirement age, like Mark said, this is kind of the middle of the road here. The max benefit you can get is $3,800, $3,822. Now, if you're like, but I can take it early. When I'm 62, I can touch it. The government will start sending me money. I can go claim Social Security at 62. That's right. That's called early. And the government and their numbers have decided if you're dumb enough to do that, we can save money by paying people early and we'll pay them less. And by the way, it's less forever. You don't get to be like, well, when I hit 67, do I bump up? Nope.
Nope.
2,700. That's what you're going to get at 62, and that's what you'll get forever. So careful taking it earlier. Now, like Mark said, the benefit, on the other hand, is to wait until you're 70. This is, again, the government incentivizing you to wait, hoping you will die before you get there. No, just kidding. Incentivizing you to wait. And so,
was that your inside voice?
Yeah, that was okay. Like, they're like, oh, wait, we'll get out of this altogether. If, you know, they won't make it till 70. Yeah. So, but this is if you get to 70, you hold off. Don't take it at 67 or then you can get 4,873. That is the max benefit. You will never get more than $4,873. That's your monthly payment and benefit that you'll get, which you ran the numbers there.
Yeah. Let's look at annual numbers of what that means. Because some of you may go, oh, I make X right now per year. And by the way, your Social Security will be taxed. So the benefit at 62, if you rush to the Social Security Administration building, is $32,000 a year taxable. I mean, that's not even starting salary for some liberal arts degree at Notre Dame. So that's ugly. Then you've got, if you wait till you're 67.
Man, he went after the Fighting Irish there.
Well, I don't know. It just came to mind. Okay. I was watching Rudy the other night. And go Rudy. Okay. Then you've got 3,800 if you wait till you're 67. That's 45,000 a year. And then if you wait till 70, it's 58,000 a year. Now, those are current projections. Now, with full transparency, you can log on, people. Log on to Social Security Administration, SSA.gov. I just did this in 2 minutes right before we started the show, and it tells me right now, based on you, what you've paid into the system at your age, Mark, here's what you're going to get. I'm not even the max. So you're like, Mark, you're making big money. I don't know if I'm making big money, but I've been paying in a long time, and I'm going to get $4,272. If I wait till I'm 70, $4,272. If I wait till I'm 67, that's $3,304. Now, whether you're rich or poor, you'll always get your Social Security. It's taxed based on your income, your overall income. Yeah. So Warren Buffett is collecting Social Security. You could be a billionaire and still get Social Security.
Yeah. Let me add another thing just so you can understand how Social Security works. If you have a spouse that was working, they can either claim a benefit based on their income.
Yeah.
Or they can take what's called the spousal benefit, which the spousal benefit is half of what the higher earning working spouse made. So they may be able to take the spousal benefit and get half of the benefit. So, but the half, by the way, is only at full retirement age of 67. So let's say it was you got the one working spouse making the max of 3,800. If you had a non-working spouse or a part-time working spouse or a lower income working spouse, they can at least get half of that 3,800, which would that be $1,900.
Okay. Now, can I make a comment?
Yes.
Okay. Now, some of you may be saying in your small business, I need to pay my spouse more.
Yes.
So that he or she can collect Social Security at the higher level. Now, keep in mind, the numbers we're giving you, these max numbers, means you're putting in almost 150 grand a year into the paid wages.
W-2
income. And paying Social Security on that into the system for 10 years to go from 1,900 to 3,800. Okay, people, that's not a good ROI. We don't need to do the math to realize I've got to pay in 20 to 25,000 a year in Social Security to get an extra $1,500 a month down the road. I'm better off to save FICA, maybe not even put my spouse on payroll except to fund a 401k, which we'll come to, and invest my money in what I know best rather than putting it in the hands of Social Security, who they themselves have said, oh, we hope to save in 11 years from now.
Yeah.
So I just want to, we're going to do a whole show just on Social Security strategies. It's a chapter in my book, The Business Owner's Guide to Financial Freedom. I highly suggest that chapter. Go to SSA.gov, do some research. But bottom line, before we move into, we're going to move right now into some strategies to mitigate this. But the bottom line is, it's not pretty. It's not as much as you think. You've got to wait longer.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah. I mean, that's the punchline here is if you're relying on the government to take care of you in retirement, you're going to be severely disappointed. So what can you do? What is your plan? Well, your plan and what we've been advocating for years and what we think works is to take control of your retirement. Don't leave it to the government. Don't leave it to Wall Street. So what does that take? That takes some discipline. That takes you taking advantage of all the retirement account structures out there that get their tax deductions. They grow when you pay no tax. They come out totally tax-free, depending on what you're using. These, all these tax-incentivized accounts that are out there, we want to utilize them in our retirement and take control of it. That takes discipline. We need to save. Yes. We need to learn how to invest. We can get to self-directing as well, which, of course, we're talking about all the time on this podcast. But we want to walk through that process here and make sure everyone is catching the vision of why we're doing this. Why are we so focused on IRAs and 401ks? Why do we set up – we set up 750 new accounts last month alone, people taking control of their retirement and self-directing it. It's because they want to have a retirement they're looking forward to.
All right. So with that said, and seeing the crisis – with what the government has provided for Americans to have for retirement. When we talk about that, take control of your retirement, and I just love that, what we've used that phrase over and over again in our business. What does that mean? In big picture terms, it means you want to have several buckets that you're building for retirement. You would first know that Social Security's there. We're going to hope for that. It may be there at 67, 70. We're going to try to encourage you to wait. That's one bucket. Number two, we want to build these Roth IRAs, putting $5,000 or $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 away every year, investing in what we know, which we'll talk about here in a moment. And then we might have our 401k at work where we're getting some matching. Maybe you have a small business and you're doing a solo 401k. Maybe you have a health savings account for your healthcare needs in the long run. And then finally, what are we doing outside of our retirement accounts? Are we buying a rental property once in a while? And maybe we are using some life insurance savings strategies. All of that is up for grabs. Our message is don't hyper-focus on Social Security. It should be an afterthought. That's gravy. It's cherry on top. It's whipped cream. What is the core dessert? What are you going to really be consuming for your retirement dollars when you start turning age 60, 65, 70 or older? You want to have multiple options. And that's the big picture point. And learning how to be self-disciplined and save and get creative takes a little work, but it's not that hard. It shouldn't be scary if you start educating yourself.
Yeah, and I think all those little buckets add up. I think a lot of people think, well, Matt, I only put $7,000 in an IRA. In yours, do you have a spouse? They can be doing $7,000. Are you maxing out your 401k at your day job? Do you have a side hustle? Because we put $69,000 away in that. The health savings account, what's one of the number one – what is actually not one of the number one cost – in retirement, medical, have you been maxing out that? You're going to be relying on that too. And so these buckets really do add up to be $50,000, $100,000 if you're married, of money you can be putting aside in a tax-preferred vehicle where you are paying less tax, the money is growing, you're not paying taxes, you're growing and building. This is why there's $38 trillion in U.S. retirement accounts overall, is because people have realized this is an effective way to save for the long haul.
Now, once you do that,
yes.
I'm going to tee this up for you. So once you have that concept, okay, I need to fill these buckets. Very common question next is, what's my rate of return on those different buckets? Oh, yeah, I might buy some rental property. I might put money in a Roth or 401k. Let's bring this self-directed concept to bear now.
Yeah.
So I put money in a Roth IRA. I have a choice. I can go to my Schwab account and just buy some stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, which is better than nothing. That's a starting point. But why would we self-direct, Matt, if I'm trying to build that retirement account?
Obviously, you want to self-direct. I should say obviously. You want to self-direct because you can get a better return on your money. See, investing, and when we're setting this money aside and getting in our retirement account, I want you to be hyper-focused on that money in the account. If you've got $100,000 set aside and you've been disciplined enough to get that money set aside in a retirement account, how much time and effort are you spending to grow that $100,000? It might have taken you years of blood, sweat, and tears to make that $100,000 to get into retirement. How many hours did you spend to earn that money? And then you're putting it into an ETF by checking a box online and not looking at it or being engaged with it? That's insane to me. You need to be spending your time and effort and focus on growing that $100,000 as much as you are going to earn $100,000. Because here's why.
Okay.
Your money starts working for you.
I love that. I was like, here, why? I got some math here. You got some math? I was going to say, one thing that you want to learn and memorize, and I show this to my kids all the time, because when they're younger and you start sooner, you have time on your side. But it's never too late to start saving. I love how Dave Ramsey says, are you still sucking wind? You can save, you know, because you never know when that time's going to come. So anyway, the rule of 72 is something we want all of you to memorize. What this rule says if you take the number 72 and divide it by your projected return on your investments, and that could be 5% and maybe a mutual fund. It could be 10% and maybe a syndication, or maybe you could get 15% being really creative, investing in things you know. If I take 72 and divide it by 15, which is actually, no, there's no guarantees in this show. We've got clients that do much better than that and less than that. But let's just say a self-directed account could get 15% doing hard money lending at 12 plus 2 points. You're right there. Equals 4.8 years. So if you have that 100 grand that Matt just talked about, every 5 years, it's going to double. So in 15 years, you're going to have almost $1 million, because at 5 years, it's going to double to 200. At 10, it's going to double to 400. And then at 15 years, you're going to have 800 grand. Now, yeah, give or take 15%, you could be pushing $1 million in 15 years from now, tax-free money, because we want to do this in a Roth structure. So self-directing unlocks the rule of 72, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it really, you can see how as you get a higher rate of return, which is based on you taking the time and effort. And this is where self-directing can unlock that. It's really hard to get a high rate of return and beat Wall Street, to pick the right stock, to pick the right mutual fund.
Using Wall Street tools.
Yeah, we're using Wall Street tools.
Yeah.
But it is possible and much more likely when you're self-directing that you can hit that. You're finding unique investments, opportunities, places you have a competitive advantage. If you're in the real estate space, investing in real estate, why aren't you investing in the things that you know with your IRA or 401k? Yeah. Like real estate, you know? If you're a business owner, why are you investing in businesses? Not your own, you can't do that. But so just think of what investing in what you know and where you see opportunity. This is where you can drive the needle and get a higher rate of return. So I shot a video on this rule of 72 because I'm getting 16% right now in my account. Okay? I'm not a wizard, but I'm lending my money at 12% interest plus 2 points, and I lend it out twice a year. Okay, so I get the 2 points twice because it's 6 month loans.
So that's four.
So that's total 4 points plus 12%. That's 16% annual rate of return. $100,000 invested at a 16% rate of return. If I can hold that and maintain that, what I'm getting right now, that $100,000 will be $1.6 million in 18 years. I'm not saying putting any more money in, not contributing more or anything. I'm just saying that 100K investing. Now, if I was getting a 10% rate of return, that 100K doesn't turn into 1.6 million until 28 years.
Wow.
It's just amazing. And so it's a huge difference. So if I can focus and make effort into getting a higher rate of return, that is where we're going to have a retirement we're super excited about and looking forward to, and it's going to be a lot closer.
Wow. I just love that. Now, in this process, you may be going, how in the hell am I going to find deals like Matt where I could lend my money? Well, let me give you a tip. First, we have prior podcasts on this topic called Alt Investments or Alternative Investments, and all sorts of podcasts on different topics from notes to crypto to real estate to small business. Please go watch some of those or listen to some of those podcasts. One of your best bets is right now, put on your calendar in October. Let's get the date if you're good, guys.
In 24th, October, 25th.
24th and 25th, we are having our second annual Alt Asset Summit. Now, this is something we're going to be doing for 2 days and virtual broadcast in Phoenix, Arizona. We got a charity golf tournament in that mix. It's going to be a lot of fun, a VIP experience if you want, a little more one-on-one with networking with Matt and I and other vendors. At this event, we are going to parade in front of all the attendees 10, 15, 20 different types of investments with vendors. And there, I think we had like three tables last time of hard money lenders. They're like, we're ready to go. These are first trust deeds. Cleansed, cleaned, ready to go. We need money. You guys interested? Boom. Yeah. And you're making over 10 to 15%. So if you're like, how do I find these things? You have to hang out with rich people. That's the trick. You all heard that old acronym, right? Take your five closest friends, add up their income, divide it by five. You'll be within 10% where your income, period. So you got to up level who I'm hanging out with. Now, I'm not saying you got to start hanging out on their private jets, whatever. I'm just saying come to conferences where you see people with money. That at the last conference we did a little live podcast, and we had two different guests on there with 7-8-digit retirement accounts, and they got up and talked about how they did it. And 15 years ago, they had zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
You can do this. So come hang out.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course we don't give investment advice. Do your own due diligence, you know? but this is where it's up to you. And that's, I think, what a lot of people have lost with their IRA or 401k is they're letting it be up to someone else. And if it's up to you, you can break the mold of these 5%, 6% rate of return, which, don't get me wrong, do that instead of nothing. Don't just not save and not invest. Even if you're getting 6% or 8%, that's still good. But can we get to another level? Can we get higher? We're just saying it's possible. It might not be for everyone. It might not be for you. But it is an option for people to really take control, get engaged, learn how to build and grow your money, because this is going to be your retirement account you're living off of, or one you're not. So, yeah. Okay. Now, I wanted to just say and make another point here. This is not get rich quick. We're talking about saving and investing in your retirement account. I'm not talking about investing in something that's going to make you money.
You just took all
the
sexiness out of this, man.
I want to give a reality check.
This is really PG. It's not.
Because it's brutal. Because here's what happens. People end up doing nothing because they're waiting for the next Uber to come along, or they're thinking they're going to buy the next crypto that's going to get a 1,000% return, and that their $10,000 that they invest is going to turn into $1 million. That's not going to happen. But can you get a 10% return? A 12%, a 14, a 16? That is very possible. And here's what, this is just interesting. There was a, this was Jeff Bezos interviewing Warren Buffett.
All right. Tell everybody who these people are. Who are they?
So Jeff Bezos asked Warren Buffett about investing. And he says, Warren, your investment thesis is so simple. What's Warren Buffett's investment thesis? Set money aside, save, invest, and wait. Don't day trade. Don't look for home runs. Just set your money aside and invest. And he's even just saying get an 8% return and buy the S&P
500. And invest in what you buy.
Yeah.
Invest in what you know.
Yes. And so he says, you're the second richest guy in the world, and it's so simple. Why doesn't everybody just copy you? Warren Buffett says, because nobody wants to get rich slow. And that's the problem. So many of you are like, I want to get rich. Okay, it's easy. You get rich slow. But everybody's looking for this solution to get rich fast tomorrow, next month. And frankly, they try it and they strike out and it doesn't happen. Or they look for that opportunity that never comes along and they do nothing. So this is why we're like, the method is proven. Take control of your income, save, set it aside, invest it, use these qualified retirement accounts that have tax advantages and investments because you're not paying the IRS as you're growing and building this thing. And then if you want to throttle up the number and get a higher rate of return because you understand the rule of 72, self-direct it.
Well, I have one last comment to bring this full circle. I'm sure many of you that are listening may be going, wow, Mark, Matt, that's great if I was in my 20s or 30s. Now I'm in my 50s or 60s. This is painful. Well, you're never too late. Start now, get going, and you'll regret it if you don't. And number two, pass on some training, some legacy to your family. Start pulling your kids aside and your grandkids aside and go and tell them, don't do what I did. Let's approach this a little differently. Some of the creative things we've seen and I've been implementing with my kids is start investing as a family together. Families that invest together stay together. I just firmly believe that, because at the end of the day, kids, it's fun. We can go out skiing or boating or camping or hiking. That's nice. But when you take the time to really pass on life-changing investment, training, financial literacy to your kids, that's what they want. My kids have said it too, Dad. Can we just talk numbers? Can you help me? I had my daughter this morning texting me going, can we talk about my retirement account today? This is my daughter in her 20s. I'm like, of course, I'm pounding this drum constantly, but the point is, meet with your kids, talk about the rule of 72, have a little board meeting, a little retreat, show them some videos, show them some podcasts, show them some data, and then create some LLCs and invest together. Our lawyers at KKOS Lawyers have set up countless family LLCs where you can have all the kids' retirement accounts and your retirement account in a pool. You can have a bigger bucket to invest with, get into better investments, better rates of return. It's true. The more money you have, the more money you can make. And let's be real. So if you can pool your money and teach your kids about this and have an experience together, you're going to pass on an incredible legacy that will have a huge ripple effect generations down the line.
Yeah. Now, if you're like, guys, I'm not sure about this self-directing and how that actually works, how does this work? Well, we do it every day at our company, Directed IRA, and go back to the first 10 episodes of the podcast where Mark and I lay out the ways on how you do it, how it works, what are the common strategies and structures, how do you move your money from Fidelity or TD Ameritrade? Is it tax or is it not? You know, spoiler alert, it's not. Okay. And so, but go back and you can learn that. And that's what we're doing every day here of course, at Directed IRA. Let us be part of it with you. And we'll be back next week with another amazing episode of the Directed IRA podcast.
And what's our slogan?
Stay calm, self-direct on.